and welcome to another edition of the Full Force News Burst, brought to you by GeneralsJoesReborn.com, with me as your host, Chris McLeod, aka Diagnostic 80. On this instalment of your absolutely favourite kind of burst, I am joined by Paddy, Fording Bridge's most wanted, Lennon, as we talk about the weekend that was, with not one but two convention reports from the Ohio Joe Show and Rollout Roll Call. So without further ado, let's get stuck into this news burst. Over the past weekend, there were two G.I. Joe related conventions happening in two parts of the world simultaneously. CoilCon 10, the Ohio G.I. Joe show, which I attended and fully enjoyed, at the Holiday Inn Dayton, Ohio, and Rollout Roll Call in Fordingbridge, UK, at the Town Hall, which Paddy attended. Let's start with you, Paddy, on this one. How was the show for you, my man?
It was really, really good. A different location than what we're used to. I'd never been in one of those kind of Fordingbridge shows that Dave Tree puts on before.
Yeah.
So I wasn't really sure what to expect with it. I actually didn't have the longest journey to get to Fordingbridge. That goes to the Spanish guys who came over from La Casa de Slaughter.
Hey.
Yeah. For some reason, they were there. We're like, what? You traveled for this?
They go everywhere. For anything G.I. Joe related, they'll be there, man.
Yeah, so we were kind of shocked to see them there, I'll be honest with you. Like, this is only, you know, the show is only lasting about 4 hours, right?
I mean, that's a point, isn't it? The fact that obviously it was a little bit late in the day in terms of the announcement that it was going to be on, but also it was kind of minimized dramatically to just a one short day in a venue, obviously, that Dave knows well for Farthest From, which again is a really nice show, and it's a cute venue, but it is so small scale, isn't it?
Yeah, I think I was speaking to Dave when it finished on a Sunday afternoon, and he had said that the first hour they had about 65 people come in.
Yeah,
because they did a special kind of early bird pay a fiver entry in, and then over the rest of the afternoon that kind of 65 people kind of seemed to orbit for a while. It cleared out around 2 o'clock. And then a small group of, you know, kind of locals came in, I guess.
Yeah.
You would say.
Yeah.
But I'd say over the entire course of the day, you'd probably maybe only got, you know, just over 100 into it.
Yeah, yeah.
Which was not bad. I mean, that when the hall is so small, it literally is a church hall.
Yeah.
So he had maybe, he had a screen to far end with some people doing presentations all day. And we'll talk about those later because some of them are quite interesting.
Yeah.
And then about a half a dozen traders along, you know, three along each side. Now, I know that doesn't sound like much, but actually the traders had a very good variety of stock.
Yeah.
Like I saw G.I. Joe and Transformers product there that I'd never seen anywhere else.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, for example, Dave had a bunch of Argentinian Persuaders.
Yeah, he's had those for a long time.
Yeah, and they're mad looking yokes.
Yeah, with the crazy cool backstop, which is like a blowtorch repaint or something.
Yeah,
isn't it?
It's blowtorch repainted into backstop's colours, and it's bizarre.
It's brilliant. I love them. They're great. Plastoramas, aren't they?
Plastoramas. Yeah. So he had a lot of kind of weird stuff like that, and a load of vehicles, you know, complete but unboxed, but a few boxed as well. And then another one of the traders had a load of G.I. Joe prototypes and test shots.
Yeah, yeah.
Which was kind of interesting.
That's awesome.
I didn't splurge on those because that would be insane. I don't want to get into being a prototype collector.
Last time I was at that town hall, it was for one of the Farthest From events, and one of the dealers had a vinyl Cape Jawa on like a tri-logo card from Star Wars, and
okay,
I think it was
so pretty expensive stuff.
Oh, that went for like $8,000 or something, I want to say. It might even have been more. It might have been more. I think I'm underselling it, but it was insane that was there. I took pictures of it, and it was on, you know, posted at the time, and I was like, this is here. So yeah, I believe it was sold like off panel, shall we say. But yeah, I mean, it's definitely a fun vibe and a fun, like, intimate arena, isn't it? I mean, tell us more about the tell us more about the actual panels that went on, because I know Dave was going to do one that was going to be very interesting.
Yes, he did. So the first panel on this Sunday was just called Charlie Mike. And it was unreleased G.I. Joe Club exclusives.
Cool.
That have been planned. You know, you know this, Chris, but our listeners probably don't.
Yeah.
The idea around 2016 was that Dave would essentially run Fun Pub Europe and would put on unofficial G.I. Joe an official Transformers show.
I remember that conversation very well.
Yes. With the idea being, so in 2016, he got his hands on the official, the club exclusives from that year. So the Sky Patrol box set, he had that officially available. He had the attendee exclusives from both JoeCon and BotCon available at Roller Roco 2016, then in London.
Yeah.
Now, sadly, not enough people turned up to that show.
It was an absolute killer, that.
It was. It was very disappointing for everybody involved, I think. So what was put on the back burner, it was put on the back burner, but essentially had things continued in 2017, 2018, we would have had an official JoeCon and BotCon Europe with official exclusive item for each of those shows as well. So Dave showed off the...
I know, it was a big deal. It would have been a massive deal, big time.
What would have been the BotCon exclusive, BotCon Europe exclusive would have been a Buzzsaw, Beast Wars Buzzsaw from the Waspinator Generations mold with a new head.
Yeah.
And they've also went through what would have been a planned convention box set, a JoeCon convention box set, which would have been Action Force versus the Red Shadows.
Yep.
So a 15 figure box set, five Action Force guys, five Red Shadows, and then five of the Battle Force 2000.
Just think, right, if people had gone to that Rollout Roll Call show rather than been about it, and if the Transformers guys had turned up and not been about it, and you know, seriously, that was what was going on at the time, you know, really deriding the fact that there was an extra show to go to. I mean, come on, guys. Like, it was done for you, and you basically turned your noses up at it. And the fact that that happened, and, you know, there are some legitimate reasons why some people couldn't go, but for the you know, the end of the day, you didn't support it, and look what you could have had, effectively.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, a better box set than anything we got in the last 3 years in the club.
Big time.
So the JoeCon Europe box set would have been was in planning before the club did their own version of Battle Force 2000. So the five Battle Force 2000 members would have been in there: Dodger, Maverick,
the others, Blaster Blocker,
and one other I can't remember. With the remainder being attendee exclusives, you would have had, I believe it was Skip, the Action Force medic, in the box set as well.
Yeah.
And then you would have had a Mouton and five Red Shadow troop builders.
Just imagine that for a second, guys. Just imagine that
for the box set. And then the attendee exclusives would have been the 50th His Tank, with the kind of railgun parts that they added for that release of the last release of the His Tank.
Cool.
As the Hyena.
Cool.
With a repainted 50th anniversary Destro as Red Jackal.
Perfect.
And then the Faux Striker repainted as the Action Force Jeep.
Nice.
Yeah.
Look what you could have had.
and then you would have got a three-figure Z-Force Trooper, Infantryman, Troop Builder Pack. As an show exclusive.
Amazing.
and then the Cobra Rage repainted as the Battle Force 2000 Pulverizer.
Oh,
which
so
is a better
awesome.
Thing.
Which, yeah,
which
better
is,
than
which,
what we got.
Which would have been better than what we got. The actual Battle Force 2000 set.
There's actually something really inspired about that choice as well, isn't there? That kind of the Rage as the Pulverizer. Something quite interesting.
Because actually, I remember we were talking about the Battle Force 2000 set on the show.
Yeah.
We mentioned possible vehicles, and that was what we brought up.
Yeah.
As something that would suit Battle Force 2000.
Well, it was the only thing we could think of that was quite futuristic as well, like the, you know, that was out, that they still had the tooling for and stuff. It definitely, the Rage came up a few times, totally. Mm-hmm. But that's nuts, man. Did Dave show any pictures of this stuff?
He had pictures of everything.
Wow.
So mock-ups that himself and Troy McKee had done to pitch the concept to Funpub. Funpub had kind of said that for an Action Force Red Shadow set to work, it would have to have included one of the sub-teams that the Americans cared about. And that's why Battle Force 2000 were thrown in there. it couldn't just be a 15-figure box set of Action Force characters, because the American collectors, you know, a lot of them are getting into it. A lot of them are more into it than they were maybe 5 years ago. But they kind of felt that you needed another sub-team in there to sell it to American collectors, which I can understand to an extent.
I can understand to an extent, but I don't think it's the case in that sense. I think if you're throwing the Battle Force 2000 in there, you might as well just do Action Force, because I think you've probably got about the same amount of... Possibly, you probably have even more interest in the Action Force characters than you do the Battle Force 2000 ones. And considering that was an available box set later, you know, for JoeCon anyway, I don't know, just it, I would feel like Americans would be wanting to get their hands on that Action Force set, you know.
And I think the people who go to JoeCon would buy the box set anyway.
Yeah.
I don't think you'd have a problem selling Action Force figures. Sure. Anyway.
Totally.
Because, you know, they picked some weird sub teams in the last couple of years to do official sets of. Mm. So I think Action Force wouldn't have sold any worse than some of the other stuff they did.
I know, random zombie Outback.
Well, the BFS set didn't sell all the Battle Force set didn't sell all that well. It was on the club store forever.
That suffered for some very soft head sculpts.
And the vehicles from that set, like, were the last things to leave the club store when they were closing down earlier this year. Like that Conquest X30 repaint they did for the Battle Force set didn't sell until like the last couple of weeks of the club existing.
Yeah,
I know because I was thinking of getting it when it was down about $30, and I was like, maybe I'll get that. Maybe that's not a bad price for a Conquest. And I went in to log on to the club store and give them money for the first time in like the history of forever. and I put it in my cart. It was gone before I checked out.
Yoink.
Yeah, someone yoinked it on me.
So what about, so the show itself, what about the kind of after party kind of vibe? Did you get to do much with, you know, obviously there were people there that you knew.
Yes, friends of the show, Nick Whitmore and Luke Coffee Brain, which were there, along with a bunch of people I didn't know. That's the way life is. sadly though, we're all old now, Chris, and there wasn't much pint drinking to be done.
Can't hack it anymore, can you?
We can't hack it anymore. Saturday, myself and Nick and Luke were there. We helped Dave with a little bit of the setup. I say we helped with the setup. Dave brought a bag of cans and we sat in lock-in. We did a lock-in in the church hall until 1 a.m. drinking Stella Artois and not really moving chairs around until 1 a.m. And then Sunday, everybody had to go home early except me. So, because I was flying out, obviously, in 1 a.m.
Yeah.
So basically about 4 o'clock and the show finished, it was kind of done.
Yeah.
And the hotel I was staying in, or the inn I was staying in, was like 3 miles away from the venue.
Yeah.
And I don't know if anybody knows Fordingbridge, but there was literally no public transport and one taxi.
Yeah.
So basically, looking to get a taxi back to my hotel, you know, 4 miles away, they were like, yeah, it might be about an hour, mate.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, I can walk it in an hour.
Yeah.
So I ended up walking 4 miles back to my hotel.
Blimey.
After the show. I did have a pint when I got back to my hotel, obviously.
Of course, yeah, just to another monster. Blow. Yeah. It is a beautiful place, Fordingbridge. It's very quaint, very kind of, you know, small little English town, but it's gorgeous. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you're right. There is absolutely, if you want to do something or you want to go somewhere, you need to be somewhere, you just have to be driving. Mm-hmm. It's just one of those things, like it's in the middle of nowhere. But it is, again, really beautiful place in the New Forest.
No, it's gorgeous. And actually, I think I would seriously consider going back there, like bring my wife and just go for a weekend.
Yeah.
And go around the forest and the national park and so on. I think it'd be a really great place to visit.
Yeah, totally.
As a tourist.
Before we'll do our hauls at the end together at the end of the show. But I mean, before we wrap up on roll call, do you think it's probably about a good time now to go back to, say, the Southampton show at that kind of size? Do you think it's ready to kind of get back into the groove with that kind of size of a show?
I think so, and I know Dave heard it from a lot of people in the week or two running up to the show that, you know, if people had a little bit more notice and if it had been a little bit more easy to get to, he would have got probably the similar attendance to what he got at, you know, the previous Southampton shows.
Yeah.
I know we in particular have a very strong preference for the Southampton shows. I think the first one I attended was in 2013.
Yeah.
In Southampton. And it was a really good show, and I met yourself and Nick and the other people as well. And we just kind of chatted and so on, and it wasn't really a big deal. But, you know, the week after that show, everybody was like, you know, Facebook messaging each other and so on. And then in 2014, when myself and Brian came over and we had printed up Total Retaliation.
Yeah.
That was probably one of the best cons I've ever been to, I think.
Amazing, amazing show.
It was an amazing show. It really was, because Boss Fight were at that one as well.
Yeah,
and Gary Head was at that show too.
Yes.
And James Kavanagh and people like that. And it was like, oh, this is a we had known each other for a year, and it felt like walking into a room with your best friends.
It was amazing. Totally true.
Like the vibe of that 2014 show was just, you know, really, really great. And then 2015, you know, they've pushed the boat out and getting guests in. You know, Larry Hama came, Boss Fighter there again. He had Nick Roach at that show as well in 2015.
It was a big, yeah, it was a big deal. It was getting to be a really big deal, and that's why he moved to London, wasn't it, really?
Guido Guidi was at that 2015 show as well. So, like, we had some really great guests at the 2015 show. And then 2016 happened, thinking, this is it. This is official product. Hasbro were on board. There was a couple of Hasbro reps at that 2016 show as well. And then the G.I. Joe fans turned up.
Yeah.
Everybody we knew from Southampton turned up.
Yeah.
But that was only 250 people.
Yeah.
Where they needed to get 500-600 people in the door. So, you know, the TF side of the shop didn't show up, despite the fact that, you know, he had a couple of voice actors.
They almost aggressively didn't show up on purpose. Like, there was almost this feeling online of it was just their real, like, you know, there was almost anger that the show existed in the first place, which I just didn't understand. It was like, why are you angry?
Which is funny, because Roll Call in London was announced before TF Nation was announced.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was planned when Auto Assembly had finished in 2015. Dave went ahead with a bigger show, thinking, well, 2016 I'll be the only game in town. And he announced it well in advance, and he announced he was having these voice actors, and he was having, you know, official product.
Yep, Neil Ross, Morgan Lofting. It was a big deal show. It was massive, beautiful venue.
Oh, one of the nicest venues I've ever been in, definitely. And, you know, very, very easy for people who are traveling internationally, like literally across the road from Heathrow Airport.
Yeah, yep.
And then the TF fans were just kind of, no, I prefer Birmingham. I'd rather go to a show in Birmingham. And what can you do? Like,
yeah, there's almost like a feeling of, I don't want to spend any money because I want to save it all for this show. And I'm thinking,
but the funny thing is, TF Nation wasn't announced when Dave announced his show.
Yeah, yeah.
But he got such a pushback from people who are like, why isn't this in Birmingham?
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, it's like, well, it's to make it easier for international people travelling. It's directly opposite an international
also,
airport.
It's,
you know,
feckin' closer than feckin' Southampton. You, do you know what I mean? Like, if you're coming from, like, all around the country, then London is definitely closer than friggin' Southampton is, unless you're obviously in that area of the country.
Certainly, it's better served by transport.
Yeah, totally.
You know, you can get to Heathrow from pretty much anywhere in the planet.
It was a bit of a shame that, but I would love to see it return. At least, you know, I can't see him going straight back into London again, but I can see him setting up in Southampton. You know, that's something that's got like a track record. It, you know what to expect, kind of thing.
And plenty of people said to him, you know, the people will turn up to a Southampton show, I think.
Yeah, totally, totally.
And I know people, you know, friends of ours who would be in the industry have said, we'll go to a Southampton show.
Yeah, big
like
time.
You put that show on again, we'll be there. And I would love, hopefully this is the kind of the spark, you know, this is the reboot, the rebuild. You know, he realizes that there is an audience there who will turn up for the show.
Big time, big time.
Jesus, those guys came from Spain.
I know. They cover the globe. Those guys are amazing.
Exactly.
Shout out to the Spanish guys. They are superb.
And I know for a fact that the traders at Roll Out Roll Call, even despite the fact that the doors are only open for 5 hours, the traders are all very happy.
Yeah, yeah, totally, totally.
People came to it and they spent money, which is exactly what you want for a show.
Yeah, because there's that kind of, it's like a focus for a short period of time, and like people are, you know, they don't get that very often. So, yeah, so anyway, big shout out to Dave Tree and the guys, you know, all the guys involved in that great show. In all honesty, and I'm gutted I couldn't make it, but at the same time, jumping in a plane and flying over to Ohio for my quick report on the CoilCon 10, I'll have to obviously give a shout out to John Cremeans and Mike Hale for basically putting on a very, very good show once again in Ohio. I mean, if I'm being completely honest, last year's was a little bit quiet. The last CoilCon had an amazing box set announced as well, but obviously the issues arose around that particular situation, which I believe is very close to being sorted out as we speak. But again, you know, if you put that kind of money down, you kind of want those figures. So obviously that was a that's a factory issue that's affected a number of different people, not just CoilCon, but obviously all sorts of different, I'm not going to say them out loud, but all sorts of different people it's affected. So Animal Warriors of the Kingdom is one of them. Eagle Force is another.
Basically, if you're waiting on a Kickstarter that hasn't delivered yet, it's because of this factory.
It's because of this factory. So while that's being kind of ironed over, CoilCon 10 comes around and they announce a different exclusive this time, which I managed to pick up, and I'll wait till the end to talk about that. But in terms of the show, it's a really nice, comfortable, enjoyable show. Obviously, there are loads of people there that you know, from the community. Roma Collectibles, so Aaron Dietrich, Mary Mercenary from The Finest are there. The Finest are there. You've got people like What's on Joe Mind were there, so like Mike Irizarry and his brother Rob were kind of repping the, not as well as myself with the full force, the podcast angle. And obviously my wife was there repping as well. Well, actually, no, sorry, that was a lie. Kate wasn't there. I actually travelled on my own to this one. So
I didn't. I wasn't aware that was possible.
Yeah, I know. Well, unfortunately, the night prior to us going, Max has been, obviously our little dog Max, he's been having some issues, if you've been following any of the other podcasts I do, and he had a bit of a rough night, and then in the morning he wasn't doing so well, so Kate was too, she was too nervous to leave him, not on his own because the mum and dad are here, but to leave him on his own with, you know, us not being there. She was a little too concerned, so she stayed behind. She was really gutted, and I think she regretted the decision, because for the rest of the day I think he was fine. So just typical, really. But so I went on my own, drove the 7.5 hours drive myself, which wasn't too bad. I left at about, I don't know, 10. No, I didn't. I left about 9 and got there in decent time, hung out with the, you know, with helped with the setup for a few people. And then once I kind of did that, we went to the Fox and Hound for a meal. And I hang out, managed to sit with Paul Aller, who is doing the new G.I. Joe comic, and had a really nice chat with him the whole evening. Didn't put him off too much, thankfully. And he also did a panel the next day, which was really interesting, which we live streamed on the Full Force. In fact, we live streamed all of the panels of the Full Force page. So if you want to check out our Facebook page, you can see all of the panels there. We had Greg Autor, who was a Hasbro employee, did a lot of in fact, he said he worked as a freelancer for Hasbro longer than he worked for Hasbro, which was quite interesting. And he did a lot of the work on the 12-inch product. He showed us the most amazing stuff that we didn't get, like cancelled stuff, effectively, including this incredible G2 idea, which would have been this. I'll put the video up on screen as we're talking, but it was like this lights, electronic lights and sounds kind of thing with noise. You know, so this one figure would have rocked as he fired, like it would have shown the gun recoiling, basically.
Oh, wow.
Which was brilliant. When he showed us the designs, it was like, oh my god, that's amazing. And the other figure was like this steampunk Cobra Commander type deal. It was almost, you know, like kind of like if you imagine steampunk with this kind of like helmet plonked on top. What as the other figure shoots at it, it would have had like laser designation thing on it, so it would have, depending on where it hits on the body, the arm would fall off, or the other arm would come off, or the head would shoot off. And as the head shoots off and you kind of destroyed it, a Cobra Commander as a snake would come out. How amazing is that? So, like, you know, kind of in, you know, linking into the movie and how Cobra Commander was turned into a snake, that's what they were doing, you know. And honestly, I'll show you the images, because it's just brilliant. And, you know, he was showing us some amazing stuff. After Greg, we should have had James Kavanagh, but James actually was in there watching Greg's show, performance, should we say. And Greg was actually coming up with the most amazing stories from Hasbro, some really cool. I mean, if you haven't seen it, go and watch it on our Facebook page. It's a brilliant kind of panel. And he has loads of cool stories about Hasbro. And James, in the end, just said, look, keep going, because what I'm going to do, people have seen before. I've done it like 3 or 4 times already, so you just keep going. So he did like almost like a 2-hour set, basically.
Oh, really? Yeah. Well,
James basically just said, you know what, I'll happily just sit this one out, this convention, which was a shame, because I was looking forward to James's stuff, but I have seen it before, so whatever. When Greg had finished, obviously Paul came in, did his panel, gave us loads of cool reveals about the comic. Loads of cool stuff. I won't mention what they are. You can go and see the actual video, but there's some really cool stuff that he talked about. And following Paul's amazing panel, there was an even more amazing panel that followed that. Again, a group of ex-Hasbro guys. I think it was Brian Lawrence, Ben Torres, and Chris Woods. And they basically form this group called the Darkitects, which is the most amazing name for a kind of team of ex-Hasbro designers. It's really, really cool. And they've worked on all sorts of stuff, and they told us some, amazing stories. Ben worked a lot on the Extreme stuff, like G.I. Joe Extreme, so he had, like, loads of, like, beautiful artwork that they'd knocked up for some of these characters to be done. They wanted Steel Raven to be done as a figure, and they had her kind of, you know, like concept art there. It was gorgeous. You know, he was telling us all these stories about, you know, how it came about and who he worked with, and he worked on with the team that did the actual TV show and all this kind of stuff. So it was really cool in-depth stuff there, really interesting stuff. Chris worked on Sigma 6, so we got a little insight as to how, you know, what he did on that line and everything. Unfortunately, the show wasn't long enough to really get into the details. Brian Lawrence was another guy on there, and he discussed his work on all sorts of lines, but including Jurassic Park, which he worked on. And he worked on this, like, again, I'll try and flash it up on the screen, but this amazing Jurassic Park vehicle, which didn't make it. And again, it shows that he shows two pictures. One picture is the picture of it kind of, you know, normal, and then the other picture is it with all the things happening, all of the features. So yeah, really, really awesome. Again, some amazing insights into the work that these guys did on the line. And yeah, again, check it out on our Facebook page, because the panel is amazing. So once that had happened, I realized I'd been in the panel room filming all this stuff for, like, you know, most of the day. Only had about an hour or so, you know, left back in the room. I picked up from Josh and Jason's toy shop, I think it's called. I picked up just like a little pack of Action Force loose figures for Kate to build up her little collection of Action Force figures. So it was, I think, a bunch of Eagles, a bunch of Sparrowhawks, a couple of Space Force guys, I believe a Patroller, and possibly even Moondancer. And I can't remember now off the top of my head. And a Baron Ironblood. And I can see the bag in the distance over on the table, but I can't remember. Basically, just a bag of Action Force figures. So Kate got those. Lucky her. And there's also some, you know, accessories. Most of the accessories don't go with the figures. It was there was like a random bazooka in there from, like, I don't know, like the 83 G.I. Joe line. I'm like, what is this? Because, like, the one that we got, I think, came with the snake armor. So I was really confused as to what that was doing in there in green. In any case, that's in there. I also picked up the exclusive, the show exclusive, the 12-inch Weaponsmith, which I'm going to do. I'm in the process of doing a video for, because I want to look at the history of that one issue that he's in. But they 3D printed, or Raging Spoon did the 3D print for the actual Stonekiller weapon that comes with it. So this is brand new 12-inch weapon that has never been done before, and it is absolutely perfect to the issue Stonekiller gun, which is basically this diamond-fed kind of laser rocket gun thing. It's nuts. In any case, it's beautiful, and the actual figure's amazing, and the detail on the clothing, which was all done custom as well, is just beautiful. This guy in South America, I believe, does the jacket, and the trousers were done by a woman in, I think, the USA, and it's just amazing. It's really cool. So anyway, I'll be doing a video, dropping a video on that bad boy. That was my what I got in. What did you get in, Paddy, for your rollout roll call?
It actually wasn't a huge con for buying things. I had a budget, because, you know, it was expensive enough to get there and stay
imagine,
there.
I can imagine.
So I had, first things first, Luke Coffee Bainbridge gave me a custom figure he'd done. He did an IDW Crake as Cobra Commander.
Awesome.
Built out of Acid Rain Parks and G.I. Joe Parks and so on.
It's a good Crake, isn't it?
It's a good Craig. It's fantastic. I'll send you some pictures now, so thanks. You can put it up on the video.
Thank you.
But Luke, you know yourself. You got customs done by Luke before. He does amazing work.
Yeah, version 2 Grunt, I believe.
Yeah. So that was the first thing I got. Second thing I picked up was, first thing I saw when I entered the hall on this. This is on the Saturday when it was just the Toy Collectors Fair rather than Roller Roll Call. Dave had a whole bunch of Action Force vehicles on a shelf.
Yeah.
And he had a practically perfect SAS Wolverine. This thing is absolutely beautiful. It is basically looks like it's come out of the package.
Lovely.
Stickers are all applied. No, they're not peeling or anything.
Good.
I don't know if you remember back in one of the Southampton shows, I remember getting very jealous of Brian Hickey because
yes.
He picked up a really amazing sample of the Wolverine.
Yes.
And I was like, I wish I'd seen that earlier. I would have bought it. So I saw one that's probably equally as nice as Brian's. I'd say the one I got is equally the same, or, you know, probably as good. So I'm like, yeah, I'm having that, please. Thank you. It's missing the tow rope, which every bloody Wolverine appears to be anyway.
Yeah.
But otherwise, it's complete. Stickers are gorgeous. Not the plastic's not faded. There's not even a speck of dirt on it. It's absolutely beautiful.
Lovely stuff.
That was my kind of big purchase, because that was like close to £40, which is like a lot of money for a vintage vehicle, I think.
Yeah.
But maybe not so bad. I picked up the, also from Dave Tree, I got the Transformers War for Cybertron G2 Combat Megatron.
Oh, I love that thing.
I love that thing. The colours on it just make me want to lick it. It's it's gorgeous. I'm slightly disappointed in the vehicle mode. I don't think the vehicle mode is all that great. But the robot,
I haven't transformed
mode is
it yet. I've only kept it in that kind of robot mode.
Yeah, it's a pile of shit. I wouldn't bother. But it looks
amazing. It's cute. I mean, it's cute for what it was, wasn't it? Like, just just a little exclusive just thrown out there kind of thing.
Yeah, but the colour scheme on it is great. And the robot mode next looks amazing. So that's very nice. Dave, in his shop, he had a small amount of modern era G.I. Joes, which between myself, Luke and Nick, I think we bought every modern era G.I. Joe he had. But he had one left of, if you remember, for 2015 Roller Roll Call, he had a Marauder Task Force exclusive.
Yeah.
Which was the Command Ops figure with Red Shadow's accessories.
Yes.
And he had one left.
Wow.
Still in the baggie in the shop.
So I'm actually surprised.
I was amazed to see it. I'm like, is this for sale? And he's like, yep. And I'm like, it was £18, I think.
Yeah.
Yoink. For a fully equipped Marauder Task Force figure.
I got about five of them, I think.
I got a load of them. I think I've got four or five already on display there. Yeah. But I got that one, and I had a spare Destro head lying around.
Ooh.
So I made myself a Marauder Task Force version of Red Jackal.
Oh, I saw you post that. Yes.
Yes. I'll send you a picture of that as well.
Yes.
So that was like a really the easiest, quickest custom ever, just using those parts and a Destro head. And a black MTF vest I had lying around.
Awesome.
And then a couple of modern era Joes. A Pursuit of Cobra Skydive, because I know I already have one. He's like, he was a tenner. He was complete. So I'm like, yeah, okay, I'll take
They're
that.
Pretty cool, though.
Yeah, yeah. And you don't pass up Pursuit of Cobra when you see it for a tenner.
No.
No, you do not. And the other thing I got was Rise of Cobra Flash. I love that figure because it looks like basically a futuristic space trooper, which, as we all know, is my genre. So I am going to use him as a base for a custom. Again, it was like a tenner, so I was like, well, I'll pick that up. It's complete, and I like the figure, and I can customize it with some parts. The other thing was, I've been asking Dave about Starcom stuff.
Because,
yes, and Dave has quite a substantial Starcom collection.
He does. He's got a lot of box stuff as well, hasn't he?
He does. But he's not selling any of it for the simple reason that he is basically keeping it. He's keeping all this boxed kind of, I guess you call them common Starcom figures and products, because he's hoping to trade them for the uncommon stuff.
Right.
You know, like the Shadow Upriser.
Yeah, yeah.
European exclusive
stuff. Like, yeah, yeah.
So he's like, I'm not really selling any of it, but also I might sell it to you if you ask me. And I didn't read it. I'm like, you know, I'll have to have we'll have a conversation off air. But
I like the fact that you mentioned that in the little group message, and then Pat Stewart, the
Starcom guy,
the Starcom man. He was just like literally dumping info in your direction. So I think he's the man to speak to as well. If you can't get him any off Dave, then see what Pat can do for you.
Well, Dave says he has an Upriser and he's willing to sell it to me.
Boner.
So I can lord it all over you, Yanks.
With our
exclusive Shadow Force vehicle.
Massive Yanker. That is amazing as well, that thing.
But what Dave did give me was, he's like, well, do you want a few free figures anyway, since I'm not going to sell you anything? So he gave me, I think it's Rusty. Is that the guy's name? It's a red-headed, bearded Starcom figure.
Oh, right. Yes. Cool.
And he also gave me Emperor Dark.
Wow.
The mail-away version, still unopened.
Yeah, quite a few flooded the market, didn't they? But like, that's incredible, man. That's a really cool figure to have, especially for free.
I've ruined someone's life by opening him. I have him here hanging off the light, the lamp on the desk here.
You've got to open that one, because there's plenty of them out there, mate. Don't worry.
Yeah.
The Starcom Museum will be fine. Don't worry.
The last thing I got, and actually this is kind of funny because it relates to the show. There was someone selling a custom Lego minifigs, and I saw a custom Lego minifig Snake Eyes. And you know what, I'm a complete whore for snake eyes. So I go up and talk to the stall owner and like, hey, how much for this Lego snake eyes? And someone behind me hears my voice and goes, wait, are you Paddy Lennon from the Full Force? So I'll say hello to Dan, who I was amazing. Chatting to for a few minutes because he recognised my voice from the show.
I love that this show makes so many people famous. We made Adam Riches famous.
That's true.
He actually said once he gets recognised for being on the show more than he does as an artist, which I think is hilarious.
But I think it's quite on brand that I was recognised because I was talking about snake eyes. That is essentially...
Yeah, big time.
That is me as a G.I. Joe fan.
Oh, you're that snake eyes guy that's on Full Force all the time, talking about snake eyes.
That's the guy who's obsessed with snake eyes and female travel.
And yet who hasn't appeared once on a snake eyes news burst yet.
No, that's true.
Let's talk about your love for Eco Weiss.
Let's talk about that. Isn't it the most amazing thing that he's going to be in Snake Eyes
movie?
Oh,
mate. He did an Instagram story the other day of him. He was doing some like light sword training, and then the guy kind of hits him in the balls with this, like, it's like a pool noodle he's fighting him with. But I can't wait, honestly. I'm really excited for this film.
I was discussing this with Nick at the weekend where basically if they make a figure of him...
Game over.
It's game over.
Game over, mate. Game.
The entire... the stock of that figure will be owned by me, because that's basically what I did with that Rogue One Donnie Yen figure.
Yeah.
Just bought as many of them as I saw.
I did that with the RZA.
pulling the heads off them and giving every Marauder Task Force body type a Donnie Yen head, because like there he is in Killzone.
Brilliant.
And here he is in Ip Man. And here he is in...
No, that's awesome. I'm really excited. And it was nice. I'm glad that, you know, you're happy about it too, because obviously we want a good movie out of this. We want a really solid, you know, cool movie. And I think it's got a very, very cool, interesting cast for something that's going to be, I'm guessing, a very highly action-packed kind of ninja film, which is kind of interesting for a Joe movie.
And I was actually watching that movie that Samara, what's her name?
Weaving. Yeah.
Yeah, I watched that that babysitter movie she's in. She's great.
Awesome.
Like she's a star in the making, there's no doubt about that.
Yeah, I mean she was all over the kind of TV out here with was it Ready or Not, I believe?
Ready or Not. I've heard it's pretty good.
Yeah, I've heard good things. I'm going to have to... I'll be checking all these movies out just to do the research. But yeah, anyway, Paddy, before you go quickly, I'm just going to give a quick shout out to the guys at the Ohio Joe Con and also people like Aaron Dietrich and Kenny Kepnick, who has had a young boy with his other half. So big shout out to them. And I took an amazing photo with Kenny and his young baby. His very young baby, and we kind of made it look like it was our child. So there's a classic family picture of me and Kenny, look like we're at a gay kind of, just some like gay family portrait. It's
amazing.
Well,
he is everybody's cousin.
Well,
so you
yeah.
are kind of family.
I'm definitely family. I'm going to be called Auntie Chris. So in any case, big shout out to them and Marcy as well for putting me up as well. That's Aaron's mom. She has the most amazing house, can I say, and also this basement where the Hubbards were there. They drove 25 hours from Utah to this show.
Gosh.
The Hubbard triplets, they're not triplets but they're brothers, and there's three of them. And Dalton, Dustin, and Duncan. So big shout out to those guys. Whenever I mention them back in the day, Eddie used to think I was making them up because they can't be real names, but they are. And
yes, I remember that Dustin does not exist.
Yeah, they none of them exist. But they were there. They did a 25-hour. It's nuts, man, nuts. So so I had a great time with them in Marcy's basement. I was going to say she's basically decked out as a bar, pool table. There are arcade machines. Like it's just. Wow. Incredible. Like we spent hours just playing like Street Fighter and Mortal Kombat and blimmin' Rampage and Golf. I forget what the golf game's called. It's the one with the ball that you have to roll really hard for the swings, but it's amazing. Golden Tee. It's called Golden Tee. So anyway, we had so much fun with that. Big shout out to Marcy for putting me up, and I love you guys so much. Also shout out to Molly and Ryan, who Molly gave Kate some lovely things. She gave her a kind of breast cancer awareness cobra emblem t-shirt, which is incredible. It's like the cobra emblem, but then with the ribbon inside it. It's really cool. And also they set us up with loads of donuts and cookies, which I managed to take some back for Kate, believe it or not. I managed to not
they
eat
survived
them all.
Journey they just, half
just,
hour
just about yeah she had a few crumbs in the bag to eat afterwards, but they were really nice. So thank you so much to Molly and Ryan, really cool. And obviously Ryan dressed up as the Secto Viper is always amazing. So big shout out to everyone that attended. And yeah, and any shout outs for you,
anybody who attended roll call, because the hope is next year we can do it again and do it bigger.
Big time.
And that's all I want out of life. That show on every year for the next 60 odd years. There'll be no G.I. Joes to buy it after like next year, because it was very difficult to find modern era stuff, that show.
Yeah, yeah.
Vintage stuff, tons of it. You know, people go to the shows. If they're in your area and you can possibly get to them, support the shows. There's no product coming out. There's a movie next year which may or not be the worst thing ever. We'll see. But the best thing about this community is the people in it.
Totally.
So if there's nothing for you to buy, there's nothing stopping you from saving a bit of money and doing a bit of a drive or a flight or whatever, and try go to these things when they're around, because they may not be around much longer.
Totally, totally. And one last thing I forgot to mention, we ended up going to the Air Force Museum at the end, which is the most incredible place on planet Earth.
I am very seriously considering hitting up one of those American shows in a year or two's time, just to go to one of those Air Force museums, because there's one, isn't it the Ohio Toy and Comic Show has Wright-Patterson Air Force Base right beside it?
That's what we did, yeah, that's the one we went to. So that right, had, that yeah. had, yeah, basically the National Air Force Museum. It's unreal. We're talking like I think four hangars and a missile silo that you kind of go through, and it is all just your jaw is on the floor the whole time, because these hangars, they contain like the biggest planes you've ever seen, and they're mm-hmm. not even in the way. Like they're just so, it's so vast, these places. It's brilliant, and it's got like the history through flight. So you go through World War, like the early flight going into the early mm-hmm. World Wars, and then you kind of come out into like, you know, the Cold War Vietnam kind of era, and then you go through again and you're into the kind of more modern stuff, and then you go through another thing and it's like the presidential and space flight, and there's a replica NASA shuttle in there that they've got, but they've got stuff that actually was on the shuttle in, you know, like interiors and mm-hmm. and pieces and stuff like that. It's just incredible. Huge long rockets in there. It's insane. So yes,
the only one of those things, I went to the one in San Diego. There's yeah. some of the aircraft carriers is there with the museum there.
Brilliant.
And funny story. So I'm there, you know, wandering around looking at, you know, Hueys and stuff like that. And I said something out loud, I think it was with my brother, my older brother Ronan, at that show, because we were at San Diego Comic-Con that same week.
Yeah.
This is about 2007. So I said something to my brother, and some lad from over the other side of the flight deck on the aircraft carrier screams, "Are you two from Mullingar?" which, of course, is my hometown here in Ireland. And we're like, yeah?
Wow.
He's like, I knew I recognised the accent a mile away. It was like a friend of one of our
I'm
cousins.
Sorry, but if he can, like, if he knows the town, then he probably knows you. I don't know how
he does. He was a friend of one of our cousins, because he asked us our second names.
Wow.
And we're like, oh, we're the Lennons. And you're like, are you any relation to Shane Lennon? And we're like, yeah, that's our cousin.
Wow.
I went to school with Shane.
Wow. That is small world right there, isn't it?
It is, right? A flight deck of a fucking aircraft carrier is even on the other side of the fucking world. And some guy who's a friend of our cousin's recognises.
Oh my god. That's a feckin' coincidence if ever I've heard one, that, Paddy.
It's a real feckin' coincidence.
Anyway, mate, thank you so much for jumping on and chatting Roll Out Roll Call and Ohio with me.
Always a pleasure.
Sorry, just as I say that, Max starts like beating up the CoilCon exclusive that's on the floor in its box. Thanks, buddy. That's it for this installment of the Full Force News Burst. Thank you to my awesome co-host, Paddy Lennon. See you next time, and as always, full feckin' force. Make sure you get involved with the discussion by liking, sharing and commenting on these videos, and as always you can keep up with the show after listening by following on Twitter @TheFullForce, liking the Facebook page facebook.com/TheFullForce, and if you would like to contact the show you can message us on either of those platforms with feedback or questions. We have also started a Patreon page, so if you want to see your name up in lights on these videos or enjoy exclusive bonus content, then check out patreon.com/thefullforcepodcast or click the link on any of the posts this podcast appears in. Full Force.